Great. For those of you that I haven't met before, my name's Rachel. I'm on the staff here at KXC. Well, for those of you, well, last week Pete kicked us off in a new series entitled Songs from the Front Line, Life Lessons from the Psalms, seeking to learn from the author of the Psalms how to offer true and authentic worship to God. If you weren't here, do take a listen at the podcast. That will be great, which is on our website. But it's just a really quick overview. The Book of Psalms is a collection of 150 songs, many of which were written by King David or Asaph and others, and it was used as the songbook of Israel. Now, if you were there, I'm sure you'll remember Pete's latest scribble on the iPad. I think it's coming up. But basically, there's a theologian, really helpful theologian on the Psalms called Walter Brueggemann, and he identified these groups of Psalms that were written out of place of orientation, out of disorientation and reorientation. And the Psalms of orientation were written from a place of well-being, of peace, security, everything is well with the world. They're mainly kind of hymns of praise, and they express joy and delight, those kind of emotions, trust, reliability in their God and in the world around them. You've also got disorientation at the bottom. That is like the Psalms that have been written when the rug has been pulled out from under their feet, when suddenly sickness has hit, where they're in a place of despair, anger, doubt, sin and pain. Here you find maybe Psalms of lament and intercession and others. And lastly, you've got this group of Psalms out of a place of reorientation. These are written when God has miraculously intervened in the people of Israel's story, or in an individual's story, and God has rescued them and brought new life. He surprised them, where joy has broken into a place of previous pain. And these Psalms express gratitude and thanksgiving, praise and testimony. And as I'm sure you've found, whether you've just flicked through the Psalms yourselves before, or whether you've been lovingly studying them and your own personal devotion over the years, you know, the emotions expressed in these books are as raw and as honest and as varied as human life itself. And throughout the Psalms, we are encouraged to bring our song. That's kind of where we left last week. Bring our song from whatever season of life we are presently in. So however, as we read and reflect on the breadth of these Psalms, we not only find a connection with our own real life, we also can see in them the story of Jesus, who echoed many of these words and who suffered and died. So he entered that place of disorientation, but also he was raised to life and now is seated in glory, reorientation. And I guess as we are called to a life of discipleship, to follow Jesus' footsteps, we're called to follow that same path. That actually, as we follow Jesus, that will mean sometimes walking into a place of disorientation, of laying down our lives, taking up our cross and following him, and also receiving new life through him. So the Psalms give language and expression not only to the common life, but also to this path of discipleship. So over these next few weeks, we will be looking at some of these themes or life lessons within the Psalms. And today we're going to start with thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving and saying thank you doesn't really come easily to us, does it? We're pretty self-centered people. We're easily fooled into thinking that everything that we possess, we get by right or by entitlement, or we've earned it ourselves. You know, we can be quick to complain about things when the things that we have aren't quite what we wanted, or quick to take things for granted. You know, we can be, at times, pretty ungrateful, and I know that that is the case for me. I'll give you a little silly example. Andy, my husband, Andy very kindly does the washing up for me one day. And he, the gorgeous man that he is, he is thoughtful, he is kind, but he doesn't have quite the same attention to detail as me. You can picture where I'm going with this. And so instead of receiving this gift of love and service from my husband, I end up actually getting pretty worked up and moody and frustrated because I have to wash a few more pots up and plates up than I should have needed to do or whatever. Anyway, but that is not a great example of gratitude towards my loving husband. And so two things I want us to look at today. You know, how does the psalmist express thanksgiving to God in the different seasons of life? And also, what does it teach us about how we can thank God in our lives today? And so just to start, let's almost like hold up some of the Psalms and have a look that we can draw on some points afterwards. So if you've got a Bible on you, then maybe take a look at Psalm 33. If you haven't got a Bible, there's ones at the front on the pews. And do feel free, if you haven't actually got your own Bible, take it away with you. We'd love to give one to you. That'd be great. So Psalm 33, verses 1 to 8. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the ten-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear him. Let all the people of the world revere him. And it goes on. This is a psalm out of a place of orientation. It's a psalm of praise. Others like it might be Psalm 8 or Psalm 114. And thanksgiving and praise go hand in hand. In the psalms of orientation, it tends to lead with praise. In the Psalms of reorientation, when God has intervened miraculously in someone's life, it tends to lead with thanksgiving. You know, once you've been in the pit and God has brought you out for it, it's no longer abstract, it's personal, and you lead with that sense of thanksgiving. So these Psalms tend not to focus on a specific situation, but on the broad truths of who God is. This one draws on his goodness, his power, his faithfulness, the faithfulness of God as creator. Turn to Psalm 13. This is a psalm in a place of disorientation. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say I have overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord for he has been good to me." You know, even in that place where he feels like he's been forgotten by God, he still proclaims trust in God's unfailing love. He actually rejoices in salvation, even though he doesn't see the fulfillment of that yet. And he sings because he recognizes that God has been good to him, whether that is presently or whether that is he's recalling his own past, but God has been good to him. And I wonder if at times we've misunderstood, you know, that command to give thanks in all circumstances, whether that's sometimes been taken as an encouragement to pretend. And I guess that's a little bit of what we were looking at last week, is that we don't need to come to God in pretense with a mask on and somehow water down our emotions. The Psalms show us that that is not the case. We're not meant to wear masks. There is a clear tension between between the desperation and the questioning and the trust and the worship, but there's not a watering down of emotion. And the Psalms tell us that there is a place for thanksgiving in our pain, not for our pain, but in the midst of it. Recently, I was really inspired by a lady called June. She was the grandmother of Sarah Klassen, who's in our hub, many of you know. And June actually recently died. And at her funeral, a testimony was read, and Sarah told me about this testimony afterwards and read it to me. And she kindly said that I could read it to you. Listen to this. "For over 20 years now, I have been living with MS, totally paralysed from the neck down for most of them. Thankfully, I'm still able to live at home in the bungalow John designed, with wide hallways and doors to accommodate my wheelchair. My days are spent in semi-climbed position in my tilt wheelchair. Reading is my joy, and I'm able to turn pages of my Bible or book with a rubber-tipped stick in my mouth. I have three wonderful caregivers, Shelley, Carol, and Fran. Shelley has been with me over 16 years, Carol and Fran for 12. They are dear friends, and I call them my dream team. They work their shifts, giving me personal care as well as helping me with home care needs. They are my hands, and we try to make everything as easy as possible for John, her husband. My official position is executive director of the house. She's even put like a little happy face after that. Each afternoon, I'm able to be alone for a few hours, which I love, often having a visitor or just a quiet rest. Although it's been a difficult journey, I can honestly say I wouldn't want to have missed it. It was the Lord's gift to me, as I have come to know my dear shepherd in a much deeper way during these valley years. Perhaps the darkest of my long journey with MS have come at times when I started to feel responsible for how my severe disability was affecting John's life. But then I came to see that when MS was allowed into my life, it was allowed into John's as well. I know that nothing comes into a Christian's life that hasn't been filtered through the Lord's loving hands. God allows only what he can use in our lives, and I can truly say I'm thankful for it all. The mountaintops, the green pastures, and the valleys. To think I will be with my dear shepherd forever in the home he is preparing for me gives me joy unimaginable. I've not been able to kneel for many years, but when I get my new body, I want to kneel at my Saviour's nail-scarred feet to thank him for what he did for me on the cross at Calvary, and for the grace he has given me all these years, as promised in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Isn't she inspiring? That is a woman who has loved and thanked. Did you hear like the joy in her words, even in a place of real suffering? And when I was putting this together, I didn't know whether to put it next to Psalms of disorientation or orientation, but certainly this is a woman who has gone through it all, and through it as all has praised and thanked God. What a lady. The last psalm is written from a place of reorientation. The majority of the Thanksgiving psalms are written from this place, thanking God for intervening. So we'll just read one more psalm and then continue. So Psalm 116. It says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. And then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I'll just skip on a bit. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Now the Jewish people were praying and reading these psalms day by day, allowing them to mold their character individually and corporately, to shape their worldview, to frame the rest of scripture, and not least to fuel and resource their life and their walk with God. And since then, the Psalms have been a central companion to Christians throughout the century. You know, Walter Brueggemann says that the Psalms are a voice of faith in the actual life of the believing community. In other words, it's almost like it's a prayer journal. It's the honest expression that we get to listen into. Philip Yancey says, I come to the Psalms not primarily as a student wanting to acquire knowledge, but rather as a fellow pilgrim wanting to acquire a relationship. And so with those three psalms as a backdrop, I just wanted us to pull out a few things that hopefully will help us as we learn to come to God with thanksgiving. So firstly, let's be quick to connect the gift with the giver. That's one of the things that I see in these psalms. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I am so glad that Joel and Tia are learning to say thank you when they receive something. You know, that spontaneous thanks, Mum, when I give them an ice lolly almost every day at the moment, or a cup of black currant, just those simple things, and they go, thanks, Mum. It's beautiful to me. But if you've ever been to a birthday party where the child is there and they are anticipating all those presents, it is mayhem. They're kind of constantly saying that, like, when is it time for my presents? When is it time for my presents? Can I open them now, Mum? And then when it is time, they tear off the wrapping, and then they're immediately absorbed into what they've been given and forget to even look up to recognise who it was that actually gave the present. And as a mum, you're there at the end going, who was that that gave it to them? Anyway, but they are actually slowly, now they're getting a bit older, beginning to recognise that the gift itself is not the only focus. The gift is a transaction of relationship. It's an expression of connection, of friendship, of love. Tia is 3 years old, and she loves giving presents. Often it's just like this piece of paper. She usually like draws a stick man on it and writes her name, or maybe a tiger. She particularly likes doing the stripes. But then when she gives you this masterpiece, what she says to you when she gives it to you is, I'm giving you this to say I love you. I'm giving you this to say I love you. She's got it. You know, God is our loving Father who loves to give us good gifts. And each of those gifts is an expression of his love for you. For you. When we receive something from the Lord, whether it's an answer to prayer, maybe you've got the job that you wanted, maybe a conflict has been resolved, or his generous provision, or healing like that we've been hearing about, or received an encouragement or prophecy that strengthened you. And we obviously see it most clearly when we look at the sacrificial gift of Jesus dying on the cross for our forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation of relationship. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But what about you? Is there anything good thing that you've got in your life that you've forgotten to thank God for? Are there any areas where you've been caught up with unwrapping the present and actually forgot to raise your eyes to see the giver? Let's not just see the gift, but also the love of the person that gives it, and say thank you to our God. But giving thanks to God is not purely a responsive thing. It's also a discipline. We need to take the initiative. So I guess secondly, I just wanted to encourage us to practice thanksgiving. You know, we're commanded to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But the problem is, if you're anything like me, we don't always feel like giving thanks. We often don't see or appreciate all that we've got to be grateful for. Quite often we just forget. Again, the ancient Jews were quick to recount their story of what God had done, the trials that they've been delivered from, the miraculous provision. And these psalms were read again and again as a reminder of God's goodness and his past action in their story. If you read Psalm 103, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul. And I almost like that he is speaking to his soul and willing it to give thanks. You know, we can use our will to stir our minds to think of all the reasons why we should praise God. You know, being thankful isn't not actually dependent on our emotions. Contemplate the goodness of God. Count your blessings. John Piper said, thanksgiving with the mouth stirs up thanksgiving in the heart. You know, we can only start where we can, but start with your mouth. A number of years ago, I read a book by Annie Dillard, this book, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, a great book, and in it she tells a story from when she was a little girl, maybe 6 or 7 years old, and she would take a penny piece and hide it for someone to find. She'd put it maybe at the bottom of a tree or in a crack in a pavement, and then she would get a piece of chalk and draw arrows from the end of the block all the way, pointing to the coin, all the way along the block from either direction. And she would write next to it, surprise ahead, or money this way. And she describes it as as this. I was greatly excited during all this arrow drawing at the thought of the first lucky passerby who would receive in this way, regardless of merit, a free gift from the universe. And then she would go home. And she later on goes on. I've been thinking about seeing. There are lots of things to see, unwrapped gifts and free surprises. The world is fairly studded and strewn with pebbles cast broadside from a generous hand. But, and this is the point, who gets excited by a mere penny? If you follow one arrow, if you crouch motionless on a bank to watch a tremulous ripple thrill on the water and are rewarded by the sight of a muskrat kit paddling from its den, will you count that sight a chip of copper only and go on your rueful way? It is dire poverty indeed when a man is so malnourished and fatigued that he won't stoop to pick up a penny. But if you cultivate a healthy poverty and simplicity so that finding a penny will literally make your day, then since the world is in fact planted in pennies, you will have with your poverty bought a lifetime of days. I love that picture, that God himself has filled the earth with pennies, gifts of beauty and wonder that are all around us, if only we'd have eyes to see them. And maybe for you, maybe we need to take on the lesson of Psalm 8 that says, consider your heavens. When I consider your heavens, consider creation, think about it, ponder on nature. As you're walking to work or enjoying a summer's day, enjoy, take in the beauty within it. And not only nature, but health and our bodies. Another thing that Joel and Tia are doing at the moment is at night when we pray, we do, you know, prayers of thanks, and Andy started this. And when you pray, we will lay on beds or on the floor and put up our foot in the air to say a prayer. So it's like, thank you, God, for Benj. Thank you for our families and friends. And then they suddenly get onto their bodies. They've got it. You know, thank you, God, for my head. Thank you, God, for my arm. And then it keeps going. Thank you, God, for my bottom. Thank you, God, for poo. Thank you for me. But there's something within that. That's just the stage that they're at. But let's thank God for health and for our bodies. Let's thank God for our arms that work. Let's thank God for our eyes. Let's thank God for the love of friends and family. Let's not take one another for granted. Look for the pennies, those brief moments of beauty, joy, surprise, and share it with God with a thankful heart. People with a strong sense of gratitude, love and appreciation don't necessarily have more than others. They aren't luckier. They simply recognise and see more beauty in their lives. A study in 2003 suggests that people who count their blessings are generally happier and healthier than people who don't. If you ever feel as if anything in your life isn't enough, try practising an attitude of thankfulness. You might realise how good you have it. After all, that's a quote. So choose to be thankful and make time to practice thanksgiving. It might be for you that a prayer journal is helpful, writing down the things that God has done in answer to prayer. It might be that before bed you just get into the habit of, okay, I'm just going to think of five things to thank God for from the day before I go to sleep. I don't know, but find ways of making time to practice thanksgiving, because it changes our thinking. Thirdly, expand your perspective. You know, we often and quite naturally just think about the things that are connected immediately around us. But in thanksgiving and in the Psalms, God has to be the focus. God is in the spotlight. So first of all, we take our eyes off ourselves and we look up. You know, again, Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? Notice the pronouns, you know, your heavens, your hands, you set in place. Those words are common in the Psalms. And in a culture when we often mainly think about I, echoing these Psalms brings a right perspective again. You know, God is far from small and he is at the centre of the universe, not us. But also expand your perspective to include the kingdom of God. You know, what is God doing in the world around us? Let's not think about all the things that he's given to us, But let's thank him for how his kingdom is being established in the world around us. So many of the Psalms tell the story of Israel and what God has done for the nation of Israel. And now it's not about the land. It's not about a nation, even though we're connected to that story. There is a new story that is going on of God making all things new and bringing his kingdom on earth around us. For me, even just yesterday, actually, we've been praying for York House for a long, long time. You know, that is such a gift to us. And I had been imagining and feeling like God speaking to me about all the uses which we could do with York House. And yesterday, we had a cheer event at York House, and Food Bank was happening at York House. And every single room in that ground floor was taken up with people that are in a place of great vulnerability, coming in and receiving support and love and grace. And that is the kingdom coming. And I just walked around just seeing all of these people doing different things, and loads of people from this church just and others serving those. And I was like, thank you, God. Let's thank God when we see the things of his kingdom coming about too. And lastly, in that, the Psalms are also an amazing reminder that we are part of a bigger story, the meta-narrative of history. You know, and who it is that is standing with us when we praise him. You know, when we pray the words of the Psalm, millions of others have prayed those words before us. And the angels in heaven, you know, the Psalms draw us to that picture of heaven and them standing and worshipping God too. When we see God in his rightful place, we know our place in the story and in the world. So expand your vision, expand your perspective. And lastly, thankfulness is meant to be done in community. Today, when we often use the Psalms, we quite often use them in a private way through our own personal devotion. But let's remember, they were actually all used in a public communal setting. You know, you can't go very far in the Psalms without that communal language being heard. You know, give thanks, let Israel say his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say his love endures forever. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. I will extol the Lord with my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. You know, this public testimony. And today, clearly, our worship together is a major expression of that, and a massive thanks to the worship leaders and songwriters that actually, you know, you guys actually help shape our faith and our experience of God, not to put too much pressure on you. But as I've been looking through the Psalms again, I've also been reminded of the importance of testimony. You know, of thanking God publicly for what he's done in our lives. You know, it's just another reminder that we're called into relationship with Jesus. We're called together. Our faith is meant to be worked out and worked in with others. At our hub on Tuesday, we followed on with what Pete had been saying last week. You know, we wrote our own Psalms with the encouragement to be totally honest with God, no matter where we're at. And then we shared our Psalms and unpacked them a little bit more in a small group. And a dear friend in our group read her Psalm, and it just blew me away. You know, we had been chatting and praying for her and her situation. She'd been in a really difficult situation for a long time. And when she read her Psalm, there was an amazing sense of celebration. And so very cheekily, I asked if I could read it to you. Just a bit of the background, she has kind of given me permission of what to say, but she's basically been caught up in a really destructive relationship for a very long time, and it has hurt her and this other person and got in the way of her relationship with God. They're not together anymore, but it's been really difficult for her to move forward, and certain habits and ways of thinking has kind of left her feeling trapped. And yet we've been praying for her, and she's received God speaking to her, and she feels totally transformed. And so this is her psalm. God, you're amazing. The way you care about me is unfathomable. You're almighty over everything, and yet you came down to reconcile me to you. I don't deserve it, but you still pour out your blessing on me. I want to praise you every day, thanking you for all you have done. You remind me always of your promises to me, and I want to know you more and more. You continue to teach me so gently, even though you should chuck me out and give up on me. You don't. Why not? Your love doesn't make sense, but you love me anyway and are always showing me. You protect me from the devil and those who want to see me fall. I will hold on to you all the days of my life. I know there'll be difficult times ahead, but Lord, with you as my guide, I'll stay strong. Today we dance a new dance of freedom, knowing I'm loved, accepted, and grounded in you. For you are good and your love endures forever. Now, that person is part of this church, and if you knew the full story, that is an incredible miracle worked in her life. You know, if we are fluent in thanksgiving, it will not only feed each other, but actually it will also feed our evangelism. For what's the difference? You know, when we're used to and recognizing what God is doing in our lives and in the world around us, what difference is it really to tell someone amongst ourselves, a Christian, or someone that isn't? We've got something to tell. So those four things really: be quick to connect the gift with the giver. Let's practice thanksgiving, let's expand our perspective, and let's give thanks in community. And just as a finish, I just want to say, for me, I have found it so helpful. I found the Psalms so helpful. You know, generally, for the majority of my Christian life, I've tried to read a psalm and a proverb every day. I once heard it said that Psalms help us relate to God and Proverbs help us relate to one another. Now, that's a bit oversimplistic, but there's some truth in that. But however you do it, I just want to encourage you to read the breadth of the Psalms. You know, don't shy away from the ugly ones, because it's only when we read Psalm 22, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Alongside Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be at want, that there is a balance of life expression. And also go beyond reading them. I know if I'm in a rushing, I just read through. But pray them, or as Pete suggested, sing them. Allow their words and themes to form and shape your own prayers and worship. You know, my worship would be narrow and predictive without being taught by scripture and by all the people that have gone before us. So let your thinking be transformed, your worldview be challenged, your hunger for God tantalized, and your spirit encouraged, and your worship broadened by this amazing book.
Oh, amen. Why don't we stand together, because we want to respond to that.